coming out, New Harmony Baptist Church. Appreciate you coming out for our service today. They say it's Grandparents Day, and thank the Lord I ain't made it there yet. But if all of our grandparents would, I don't want to embarrass you, if all of our grandparents would please stand. They say this is a reward for not killing your children. So maybe one day we'll know in time. So thank God for you being here today. We appreciate it. Appreciate you being part of us and coming out. Spend time with your grandparents, or either spend time with your grandchildren, wherever the situation may be. We're glad you're here. One announcement this morning. I usually do announcements at the end, but I want you to be thinking throughout the service. We'll be going as a group to watch the movie Overcomer tonight or this evening at 4:20. Is that right, Carrie? Movie starts at 4:20. We're just going to purchase your own tickets at the gate. We'll try to get in the same area there. I don't think there's going to be a big crowd like there was last week or last couple weeks. It's kind of winding down a little bit now. So if you'd like to go, just meet us down there. After the movie, we'll try to go eat somewhere together as a group and have a time of fellowship. But I have already previewed it, make sure it was okay for you. It's a real good movie. We have watched it, but I'm excited to even watch it again. It'll, if you take the meaning of it to heart, it'll for sure change your life. It'll make a difference in you. And those guys, thank God for them. And the stand they take to make these movies that the whole world can see that there is a difference when we come to Christ. So thank you for that. Do we have prayer requests this morning before we get started? Remember Ricky? I think he's got a blockage and 95%. Remember him. He's become a dear friend of mine since I've been in business, and I'd always been a good friend of his sister's. But remember his sister also. She's struggling right now with some cancer issues. I ask you to remember my mother still. She's back in the hospital in Villa Rica, losing blood. So pray they find where the blood's coming from and can get her better. Thank God we got Maudie with us this morning. She's doing well. Said she felt good this morning, so thank her for coming. What's God done in her life? And I ask you also to be in much prayer. We're starting a cancer ministry here in our church. And I don't, the visitors that's here, if you know anybody that is diagnosed with cancer in the near future, we want to be the place you can send them to, that we can try to give them hope. We're not a hospital or anything, but we're spiritual hope and spiritual mentoring, that we can help them realize that this is not the end, that cancer is not the end of anything. It's just something that God allows to happen sometimes. We don't understand it. We don't understand why he allows it, but we know it's for the good of those. It's for his glory, and it's hard for us to understand, but I think he's given us a ministry here at New Harmony to learn to help people and to be the hands and feet of Christ in our community, and that's our prayer for this cancer ministry. We're just now starting. If you would be interested in helping us, we'd love to have you. We're going to start having classes the first week of October. We'll be doing the classes before evening service on Sundays. The classes are going to teach you what it is to volunteer. There are several different areas you can volunteer in. A lot of this ministry is one-on-one, is helping them, being there for them. Sometimes you don't got to say a word, just listen. But we ask that if you are interested in volunteering, I know when I said one-on-one contact, it just scared you to death and speaking to them, but if you would come to the first meeting, we ask everyone who is even somewhat interested to help, if you would come to our first meeting in October, we'll get you a date on that. It'll be the first Sunday in October. They're going to explain to us what it is that we're going to do, going to show us what it is that will be expected of you if you volunteer. And I pray you pray about this. Ask God if it's his will that you participate in this ministry. And I know that we need help. We're going to need help to go forward. And I think God's going to do great things from us. Through us from this thing. And if we make a difference in one life, it's worth all the effort. It's worth all the time, all the money. So I should be praying about that. Any other prayer requests? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then our singers will come forth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. God, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your house. What a privilege it is to get to worship our true and risen Savior in a country where it's still legal. God, we thank you for our church. We thank you for the ministries that you're putting on our heart. And God, we ask that you begin to work through these. That God, we become a church in our community that our community couldn't do without. Not that we can pat our own backs, but God, we can give you the glory. Lord, we ask today that you'll be in our midst. And I pray if there's one on the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, I pray they will before they leave this place. If not, I pray their bed becomes too short and they can't find any peace till they receive Christ. And Lord, I ask you to be with all the prayer requests. I ask your will be done in each situation. Even when it don't make sense to me, we ask your will be done. God, we ask you to be with our singers. Bless them this morning, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
The splendor of the King, love and majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God! Age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion.
See the world through your eyes. by surprise. Holy nation, sanctified, let this be our battle cry. Ready yourselves, ready yourselves. Let us shine the light of Jesus in the darkest night. Oh, ready yourselves, ready yourselves. May the powers of darkness tremble as our praises rise. Until the whole world hears, Lord, we are calling out, lifting up your name for all to hear the sound. Like voices in the wilderness, we're crying out. And as the day draws near, we'll sing until the whole
all day long. Praise Him, praise Him.
drawing near, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, now I need you. For sin runs deep, your grace is more, for grace is found. It's where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
Appreciate that great singing this morning. Again, I appreciate you being in our midst. Excited to be here. And this message this morning, I have studied and even talked to people and tried to figure out some things. And I have realized some things in our whole country, in our churches, and in our lives. And I won't preach a lot to men this morning, but it's for all people. We have a problem in our churches, in our nation, and in our whole society of commitment. Of commitment. It's something that is plaguing our nation. Is if you've ever been in charge of something at work, you know it's there. It's in our churches. It's in our anything you think of. People's not committed to anything anymore. I asked some questions, even some of y'all smiling. Asked some questions about what does it take to get someone committed? Actually, I Googled it also, and guess what? I found no answer. Found no answers. Nobody has a good answer to that. Nobody has a good reason. And if I could find out what it took to get people committed, why, I could quit work. I could take it easy because I would be a multi-million, probably billionaire because companies would love to know it. Churches would love to know it. And most of all, God does know it. And God knows what it takes to get someone committed. And I hope today that you understand a little bit as we preach. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm not going to apologize for anything that comes out of this Word of God. Now, some of the things, my ideas, I can apologize for, but those that are Word of God, I cannot. There's nothing to apologize for. I began looking at a church. I began looking at a church member, and that's what we today, I hope you're a member of a church. I'm not talking about New Harmony. I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ. And we need committed church members to the body of Christ. We need them not committed only to the big body of Christ, the whole body, but even small bodies such as New Harmony or whatever church you may be from today. They need committed church members. We need committed people. I've been reading a book, and y'all can blame Tony Evans for a lot of this. I've been reading a book of How to Be a Kingdom Man. The name of the book is Kingdom Man. And the one that the last parts in it I'm reading now is about men committed to their church and to their communities. And he said something that made me giggle. Does y'all ever feel weird when you laugh alone? I feel like I'm weirder than I usually am. But I was reading this, and I just busted out laughing in the swimming pool all by myself. If somebody was watching, they'd think I'd completely lost it. But he said most men have a prostate exam approach to church. How many men in here ever had a prostate exam? Did you want to go back? Seriously, he said most men have a prostate exam to church. They know it can save their life, but they keep putting it off. And I began thinking about that, and it's a little comical, but it's serious. That's a very important, many men suffer from prostate cancer. It's very common in men today, and one way to do it is go get an exam, and brother, it's not fun. But listen, it can save your life. And listen, preaching like this is not fun, but it can save your life. Being committed to your church a lot of times may not be fun to you, but it can save the lives of not only you, but your family and your friends. It's important that we become committed. And listen, I looked around at other bodies of people to see what it takes for commitment. I asked Jonathan, I don't mind telling you because he's here, I can use his name. As he's the chief of the fire department, it looks like to me that volunteer fire department people are pretty committed. So I asked him, I said, what's the secret? He said, well, we have a problem too. He had the big number that you have a small amount that is actually committed. And in churches, you have even a smaller amount. But the reason people are committed to anything is because they see a difference. They see themselves in making a difference. And a lot of them see it in being a calling that they are called to do. Many doctors will tell you they felt called to be a doctor from time. Not even counting the money, they felt that was God's thing for them. But for some reason, recently, and when I say recently, I mean the last 20 or 30 years, men in our churches have not saw a need to be committed to God. We've not saw a need to be committed to the local church. And I think we need to take some time this morning and preach about some things that it takes to be a church member, some things that is involved and why we need to be a church member, and what is important about being a church member, and why is it important to be committed to the things that God has called you to do. Listen, there's not a more important organization in our country or in our nation or in your life than you can be a part of than the true Church of Jesus Christ. There's not anything. You said all the fire departments, all the ambulances, all the everything, and I love them, and I thank God for you. You help people, and it's a great thing. But listen, all these things is temporal. We need to be a part of something that's eternal. And today, the only thing I know of that's eternal, brother, is the Church of God. The church, listen, there's a church is a powerful thing. I began thinking about the church this week and studying about it, and why in the world would anybody not want to be a part of this? Hey, the benefits are, as they say, the benefits are out of this world. But listen, again, before I get started, why is it that many of us don't see the need to be committed to this church, to this body? I can't answer that for you. You're going to have to answer that for yourself. You're going to have to answer that for your family. But I will tell you this before I get going. I have realized something in the last several weeks of reading this book. And yes, I'm a slow reader because I went back and read several parts several times. This book has opened my eyes to see something that I already knew, that I should have already known. Men, we hold a great responsibility. We hold a great responsibility in our families, number one. We hold a great responsibility in our church, number two. And we hold a great responsibility in our community, number three. And if you ain't meeting all of God's purposes for you in each one of them, I pray today that you begin. I pray today that starts a brand new commitment for each man on the sound of my voice. I don't care what church you're from unless you're committed to that place. Wholeheartedly, brother, you need to change your ways. And I looked up and I had heard a great story in preaching. And Stephanie didn't even know what I was preaching and she posted it, Rudy. Completely ruined it for me. I had it on my mind, and who's ever heard of Cortez? I think that's Wayne. Blake's a history teacher. He's going to make me look stupid here. But there was a man who was commissioned with overtaking, or he's supposed to be searching out Mexico, but he decides he's going to overtake Veracruz. And in doing so, he has to get his men committed. Listen, I'm probably messing the story up magnificently. But listen, as this man comes on shore and begins to overtake this city, you know what he tells to his men? He says, burn the ships. Burn the ships. You know why he wanted the ships burned? So they could not leave. If you didn't have any ships to get away from Veracruz, then you had to be committed to the cause. Men this morning, and women also, in our church and in our community, it's time that we burn the ships. It's time that we get away with everything that has taken us away from the work God has for us. It's time that we burn those vessels. It's time we sink them. Now, history says that they may have just sunk those vessels. But whatever it is, a burn it made a good story. But listen, either way, they've done away with those ships. And the men could not do that. And they say because of this, history has changed. And by the way, it was a religious thing also. It was Catholics against Protestants. That was part of what that was about. But moving on today, I want you to see, number one, the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church, you see, before anybody is going to be a part of something or really be committed to something, they need to know the purpose. If I'm going to join something, I want to know what I'm going to be doing, bless God. I want to know what my responsibilities are. I want to know what's expected of me. I want to know what the purpose of that place is for about. Listen, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 22, listen what it says. And I didn't even read the text, is how excited I am. Let me read that first. Hebrews, guys, you can turn there if you want to. If you don't, it don't matter. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23 says, but you are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, in heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. That explains to you what Mount Zion is about. Listen, we know that Mount Zion was a place that Moses went to get close to God. But this Mount Zion we are going to now, which is the church of the living God, is a place where we all can encounter the Almighty God. And this is done through this general assembly, which is called the church. This is done through a great body, which is called the church. And it's done through, listen, this thing is so easy to join, by the way. It's not easy if you look at it through God's eyes, because it cost God the best thing he had. But listen, a man, woman, boy, or girl, when God begins pricking that heart and begins tugging at that soul and begins enlightening you to know you're lost, you get an opportunity of something called faith to respond to this. And by responding to this and receiving Christ as your Savior, you become a member of this great organization called the church. And by the way, the Greek name of this thing is, I'm going to mess this up bad also, I think it's called Ecclesia. Ecclesia, E-E-K-L-E-S-I-A. It means community of Christian members on earth and in heaven. And to this organization, it's what you belong to. Listen, a community of Christian members on earth and on heaven is what you are belonging to today if you belong to the true church of Jesus Christ. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 22 begins telling us what the purpose of our church is. And the purpose of all churches is, it's a great responsibility and it's a great purpose this morning. And listen, it says, wherefore remember that you've been in time past as Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Woo! For he is our peace, who hath made both one. And hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity of the law, commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace unto you which were afar off unto them that were nigh. And for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers or foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together unto a holy temple unto the Lord, in whom you are also builded together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. There lies your purpose for the church. The purpose for the church is to reconcile man back to God. He tells us that in Matthew. Here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. He says, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and Lord, whether you always, even unto the end of the world. Hey, this great leader we have of Jesus Christ, this great membership that I can join, call the church. Let me tell you how great it is today. Not only is it the most powerful thing in the world, but it's the only thing that can save men from hell. It's the only thing that can reconcile a sinful man back to a holy God. It's the only membership you can join that has heavenly benefits. It's the only membership you can join that will never pass. You may join many other memberships and many other things, but I promise you that one day they'll pass away. But my friend, the church of God will never pass. It is there to the end. You can go to Revelations and look, Terry, and you'll see the church there in the presence of an almighty God. This thing has a great purpose, and the purpose is to reconcile a man back to God. Today, are you living out the purpose that God has for you? Are you committed to the purpose that God has to you? Are you committed to the purpose of winning lost souls for Jesus Christ? Are you simply here to be part of something because it's fun? Are you here to be part of something because we have a good time on Wednesdays or a good time on Sunday mornings? Are you here just for a social event? Are you truly here to be committed to Jesus Christ? That's the purpose this morning. Listen, also it says, I began reading this, and Tony Evans, if you ever have a chance, man, pick that book up. If you can't afford it, I'll let you borrow mine. If you really don't want to do that, I'll buy you one. That's how great this thing is. But listen, he says something about the church. It's the embassy of God on earth. And listen, we as U.S. has embassies all over the world. And you know what happens if you're in that country and you have a problem come up, you can go to that embassy and you're guaranteed the same rights there as you are in the United States of America. It's by the same laws, it's by the same everything. Whatever it is, if you have a problem in a foreign country, brother, you go there. And that's what the church is to be. It's to be a little bit of heaven right here on earth. It's to be the closest thing we can grasp of what heaven is like right here on earth. And man, today, are we missing the mark, church? Missing this, and the reason we are is because we are not committed to the cause. We're not committed to this reason, and we don't see a great purpose in it. The reason you are a member of anything is because you see a great purpose. I pray today that men, women, boys, and girls will begin to see the purpose it is of the true church of God. What purpose it holds. Hey, this thing's important. We're to be the voice and the hands and feet of God here on earth. Bring a little bit of heaven to earth. We're to make God's wisdom known to the rest of the world. Listen to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. This verse, if you look at another translation, it'll probably read like this. It's through the church that the manifold wisdom of God is made known. It's through the church that God's wisdom is made known to a lost people. And you want to know how we got into the shape that we're in right now in the whole society and everything, how things are so messed up. We don't know who to marry. We don't know what to do. We don't know what we should do. We act like we don't know what bathroom to go in. Bless God, we don't know any of these things. And the way it got to this point is that the church is not making the wisdom of God known on the earth. It's up to me and you to let the lost world know what God's wisdom is. It's up to us. And listen, as what a responsibility is given to us. The Almighty God that created everything, Terry, He's putting it on my shoulders and your shoulders and men on your shoulders to let your family know what the wisdom of God, to let the community know what the wisdom of God. And I'm sad to say today, but I have to admit that not only have I failed Him as a preacher, I failed Him as a father, I failed Him as a community leader, I have failed Him so miserably, but today I wish we could make a difference. And we can. We can. To make God's wisdom known to the rest of the world. Have you ever met anybody smarter than God? Except for teenagers. They think they are. Listen, God knows everything. Before the foundation of the world, He formed you. He formed your purpose. He formed what it was you to do in His kingdom. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else will be added unto you. God knew you before you was even in your mother's womb. God knew you in eternity past. Our minds can't grasp that. But the manifold wisdom of God, that means the much wisdom of God. That's what we're to be. That's the purpose of the church. Let me show you the power of the church. If you want to be a member of something, do you want to be a member of the best? Absolutely. That's the reason I pull for Alabama. I better go forward. Y'all say I'm rambling. But no, if I'm going to be a member of something, I want to be a member of the best. If I was out here and I decided I was going to join something, you know what I would do? I would find the best one. I would find the absolute best. If you're not that way, you need to check up on your own self. Something's wrong with you if you don't desire to be the best. But I would begin to searching out the most powerful, thing I knew had the most power in it. And listen, you will find nothing else except the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 and 5. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. Now let me tell you something. Jesus Christ was not weak. This is not what this is meaning. It means weakness was in that flesh he took on. And listen, he never even sinned. He never done anything wrong, but our flesh sees acceptable to death. And so was his. He was allowed to die. Yet he liveth by the power of God. That flesh he had, listen, although it was 100% flesh, I believe it was, and also he was 100% God, I believe that also, but that thing, that flesh, it did die. But because he lives today, it's only through the power of God. And by you, your flesh is weak. It says, for also we are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Brother, I don't know of any other power that can make something dead live again. Have you ever seen anything dead out there on the road? You go to it, you can talk to it all you want to, and it ain't coming up. It ain't going to live again. But listen, the power of God can speak. The power of God can even cross his mind that something would live again. And brother, it can come to life. That's the power he has. He has power over all angels, power over all the earth, all the stars. He created them. There's nothing more powerful than my God. Amen. Nothing. And if I want to be a member of something, I want to be a member of him. I want to be a member of the most powerful thing they are. And listen, this power that the church has is simply by the power of God. The power of the church is simple. I've heard it say, why don't we have any power in the church anymore? Why don't we have any of this in the church anymore? Boy, you just don't see this in the church anymore. The simple rule is this. The church has left God. The church ain't committed to God. If the church was committed, brother, there's nothing that can overcome the power of God. There's nothing more God wants today than New Harmony Baptist Church to be the most powerful church in anywhere. Why? Because he wants all these churches to be powerful. But the reason we're not is because we don't have people that's committed to the cause. We just don't care. We just really don't care. I begin thinking about this. I'm using my own self, for example. If I got a problem in my finances, you know where I look to cut? Well, I could just not tithe that day. They ain't going to never know it. The only one going to know is Carrie, and she ain't going to tell nobody. Well, if I don't do this, I tell you what, you realize that church is always the first place we cut? You ask people to be honest with you. Church is the first place we decide we're going to save money. Well, we just won't give to this today. We'll just decide to put this off a little bit more. Why? Because we don't see the reason. You realize today there's people in Africa, there's people in China, there's people all over this world, even people in Alabama that's not hearing about Jesus Christ because our great organization, the Southern Baptists, and you can say what you want to about it, it's sent more missionaries to parts of the world than any other organization. But the reason it's having to halt this thing because people has took those monies that's supposed to have gone to missions and put them in other places, and even churches are guilty of that. And because of that, people is not hearing the gospel. But not only that, we'll wake up and our nose will be a little bit stuffy, and you always say, I ain't going today. I don't want to get everybody else sick. But bless God, 8 o'clock in the morning can come around and we bust a work doors wide open, sick as a dog. Woo, that'll get you thrown out. But it's the truth. We don't get sick enough not to go to a ball game. And I love sports. We don't get sick enough to do a lot of the things we want to do. But brother, we can have a little bit of something come up, and I got to miss. And I know that this is not, I know this is talking about the whole church of God. And you say, well, me missing on Sunday morning is not that big a deal. Yes, it is. Because what happens, it becomes a habit. It becomes a habit. And you are truly, truly missed. Listen, the power that's in the church. As a body, Jesus promises that he will be in the midst. You ever feel like you're alone? You ever feel like even in church, we're by ourselves? Listen to Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now, I told you of all these places we'll sing to get to go besides church if we're little. Why in the world do we not care to be around the power of God? Why do we not care to be in the midst of God? He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, surely if he says two or three, he means 40 or 50 or 60, or however many is here this morning. If we just said that, then surely he will be in the midst of us. Now listen, why would you rather be anywhere else than you could be around the Spirit of God? There should be no place a man desires to be that's right with God than in the Spirit of God, around the Spirit of God, and filling the Spirit of God, and hearing the Spirit of God, and being led by the Spirit of God. There shouldn't be a more place you desire to be. But I tell you the reason that we don't desire to be there is because we're not right with Him. And when you're not right with God, it's the last place you want to be is around God. You don't want to be around a preacher? Hey, you want to know a lonely life? Now it's your call to preach. I had friends, and I couldn't tell you how many friends I had. And when I got saved, they started trickling down. But when I announced my call to preach, I think I got the plague. You don't have many friends. Nobody wants to go out and eat with a preacher. Nobody wants to go to the ball game with a preacher. Nobody even wants to go fishing with a preacher. And you can use your own thing while they don't. But listen, what you don't realize is I'm as bad as you. The only power we can feel is around the presence of God. The power is recognized through prayer. The sick are healed, it tells in James. If any is sick, let us lay hands on him. And the church lays hands on them, and it's not the hands we're laying, it's the signifying of the touching of God that's touching these people. It says, anoint them with oil. The oil, the power, is the power in oil? No, the power is in the Spirit of God. In the power of God, it's all through our scripture about this. Praying for them. Listen, not only this, but the backsliders will be reclaimed, and more importantly than that, the lost will be drawn if we're in the midst of the Jesus Christ. If He is in the midst of here, what power there is. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. He don't say I might be, I can be. He says, I am in the midst. And I take Him literal at His word. This power is available to us through the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 20. For that He would grant you according to His riches and glory to be strengthened with the might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that work in us. What power is it, church? The Spirit of God. That Spirit of God that says, I will be in the midst. If two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the middle of you. I am working. He is talking to hearts. He's talking to lives. A minute, the Word of God goes out. Listen, this ain't something we need to do to take up time. This preaching, this teaching of the Word of God is powerful. And the power comes through the Holy Spirit of God. There's not a more powerful force on this earth than the Holy Spirit of God. What power is in it? What about the protection of the church? The third thing. Jesus prayed for the church. Listen, John 17:15. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. Jesus Christ prayed for you. Before you even knew that you was going to be a member of this great body, He was praying for you. He said, I want you to give them a life and give it to them more abundantly. I want them to live a great time. I want them to have families. I want them to have a church families. I want them to have the good things. Now, but listen, I pray that you keep them from evil. I pray you don't let the evil one overtake them. And brother, I tell you this, this is how sure I am that God's able to keep my Savior. Ask Him to keep me from evil. And if Jesus Christ asked Him to keep me from evil, there's nothing that can overcome that power. So I must be secure. So today, if you belong to the church of God, brother, you are secure. There's nothing can get you. I believe that as much as I believe this Bible, because Jesus Christ Himself said it. You should keep them from evil. That sealed it. He has prayed for you. Listen to this. Matthew 16:18. He said, I also say unto thee that thou art Peter. Now this is not saying that Peter is the rock the church is built on. Catholics believe that, but I don't believe that. I believe the rock is Jesus Christ. Thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Even hell cannot overtake this great membership of the church. Hell cannot do anything. And I began studying about why did he say the gates of hell. Why did he say that? Listen, in this day and time, when things was made, when a decision was made in communities, it was made at the gates of the city. This is where they met to have their meetings, Rudy. This is their city councils was at the gates. They made these. And listen, he was saying that even the gates of hell, everything that hell decides to do down there, they can't do anything against the church because it has my protection and my seal upon it. Church, you ought to be running around the graveyard right now if you belong to Jesus because there's nothing that can get you out of the hand of God. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He can't touch it. And oh, it burns him up. Oh, it just kills old Satan that he can't touch what God sealed. But thank God for that sealing. Isaiah chapter 54, 17, more promise. More promises. Listen to this. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You know why you can't be harmed? Your righteousness does not lay in yourself. Your righteousness lays with that of God. Your righteousness lays of Jesus Christ. Every righteous thing you have is because of blood He shed, that He shed freely for you. It's not on your own. There's nothing you did to gain it. And brother, you cannot lose it because it is His. It says the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. And you tell me anything that can snatch it away from Jesus. There's not a simple thing. So that's what I want you to get control of this morning and get a handle on. Listen, it don't even matter what you're caught up in right now. Nothing, if you belong to Him, nothing can get you from Him, because His righteousness is of Himself. That ought to give you some security this morning. Commitment. Would you want to be committed to any other thing besides this? If whatever you're committed to today, if you would come to me and tell me, preacher, I'm committed to this, I could show you flaws in it because it's of this earth. I could show you flaws within several things that I'm a member of. But the true church of God is not one of them. There's no flaws. We may have made some flaws in denominations. We may have made some traditions in denominations that have some flaws. But in the true church of Christ, there's not any flaws. There's not any weaknesses. There's not any soft spots. It is rock solid. Why? Why today are we not committed to this great cause? Lastly, are you doing your part in the church? Not just talking about New Harmony. I'm talking about the church. The church that's got the purpose, that's got the power, it's got the protection. Are you doing your part? This is a little lengthy, but I want you to listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 27. Listen closely. For as the body is one, and hath many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized to one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where was the hearing? If it were a hearing, where was the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it pleaseth Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism, that means separation, in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with him. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. He said as much in them words as I could say in 10 million. You are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. And I know I probably preached this same thing almost 100 times since I've been here, but I want you to understand today, you are important. The role you play even in this small body is important. It's important that you be committed. It's important that you be sold out. It's important that you burn the ship. that you sink the ship, the way to get away from it is. I've dealt with this in my own life, of how I tend to make all these excuses. My main one's time. You realize that all the time I have is God's anyway? It belongs to Him. I'm just to be the member I'm called to be. This finger never says to this finger, I don't need you. This eye never says to this eye, I don't need you. It all works in unity. We've preached about this a lot of times. How everything has to be working for our body to be right. You remember how you was when you was a 10-year-old child. When you didn't have any blemishes, you didn't have any aches, any pains. You didn't have anything wrong with you. You could run all day if you wanted to. You could come in the house, you could go to sleep, you could wake up, never an ache, never a pain. This is a body working in unison as it's supposed to work. This is a little comical, but our churches today are operating as a 100-year-old man. We just barely get going. And when we do, we complain. I can't do that. I just barely can make it. You belong to the greatest organization that's ever been on the world, ever been in the earth, ever been anywhere. Hey, you remember that first verse I read? It's in an innumerable amount of angels. Of all the saved on earth and in heaven, if you belong to Him, you're a part of that. And more important than that, you're made joint heirs with Christ. Are you feeling your part of the bargain? Are you being what He has called you to be? Are you doing your part? Are you pulling your weight? Are you doing what He has called you to do without a shadow of a doubt, and you know what it is? I ask you today, church, to become committed. Come committed to God. Come committed to the whole church, the whole kingdom of God, that your main objective may be that kingdom is enlarged. You may understand you have the power and you have the protection of an almighty God. But I am asking you to go further. Would you be committed to this small body of Christ? If you're a member of a, listen, if you belong to another church, I'm not trying to steal you. You go to your church and you be committed. Wherever it is He's planted you, you be what you can be at that place. But if you belong here today, will you be committed? Will you say, today is the day that I'm burning my ship? You go to Elisha when he was called. Remember what he was doing? He was plowing. As God called him to be there beside Elijah and to be Elijah's overtaker, when Elijah was taken up, you remember what he did? He went back, he burned the plow stock, and he boiled the oxen. That was signifying he no longer needed that part of his life. God had called him to something new. Today we need to burn some things. If you would please stand, and Pat would come forth and play. This has been a hard message for me to deal with because it hurts. It hits us where at home. Because we're all guilty of this commitment problem. I don't even know when it started. We could argue about it all day. It don't matter when it started. What matters is we're here. What matters is in this small, we can't do anything about out there. All I can fix is myself. If I can get myself committed to the cause of Christ, I've done a pretty good job. I can't control you. You can't control me. Are you committed? Are you as committed to Christ as you are many other things of your life? If you're committed to bass fishing, you make an opportunity to bass fish. If you're committed to the golf, you make time for golf. Sadly, we begin putting God on the back burner. I will deal with it when time comes. I'll do that when it's time to do it. Or whatever He's called me to do, I'll do it when it becomes available, becomes convenient. The time never comes. The time to become committed to Christ is today. Will you come to Him? You may be here this morning. You don't belong to this organization. May I tell you that if the Spirit of God is letting you know that and is enlightening your heart to let you know you're lost, that He's given you an opportunity to come to this organization. He said, whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved. They're all the same, whether they're Jew, Greek, Gentile, it don't matter. For there's one salvation, that's Jesus Christ. There is no other way that man may be reconciled to God, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, it will not happen. Today, if you don't belong to Him, will you? If He's let you know you're lost, will you come? Will you come?
Will you come?